Oh, I've killed you now.
Geek Juice Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
All right, everybody, thank you for stopping by for another amazing, astounding, and plenty of other words that begin with A episode of Geek Juice Radio. Tonight, the topic at hand will be in the interest of pleasing many people as we can, but not in a sexual way. We're going to be talking about underrated and overrated video games, and this will encompass all of time.
I'm going to be making people mad with this episode. I know that because I'm going to be calling out some games that people love. Overrated.
We've also got underrated, so you'll make some people happy.
Well, yeah, no, but people are going to be with me, and you guys already know this, like, talking to me on an average basis, just, like, I'm going to be naming off games that are people like, what is the... Like, not even know, and then they're just like, but he's going to diss this game, and he's going to talk about his nothing game that no one's heard of from, like, the 90s?
Paper Mario's a national treasure!
In Canada, yes.
But to get introductions out of the way, the one that plans to make everybody mad, Dustin Kidd.
Yes. Hello. Your favorite Canadian's back. It feels like forever since I've been on the show. Life is happening and stuff, so unfortunately. But yep. I'll try and be on here more often.
We've got Kevin Daly.
I'm probably going to end up making Jillian mad with at least one of my decisions. Sorry, Jillian.
I'm going to make a lot of people mad with my decisions.
We've got Charlie McMullen.
So, Kevin, you'll look fine.
We got Charlie McMullen.
I think if I just make one person mad, that's a success.
And then me, Alex Drowski.
Charlie, you already made me mad just by... You think you could just jump on the bandwagon like that? Like, come on.
Just continuing
I'm
to
mad.
Resist.
I can't take this. Oh, God. I can't work like that.
I know. Is this that solitary confinement discussion we're having before the show?
Throw me in a room naked. I can't take this.
I stand by my views.
To get it out of the way, since we were discussing it before the show and Kevin brought it up, so overrated games, Zelda.
Ocarina of Time is overrated. That was the one I was going to make Julian mad with.
I'm going to say all the Zelda, the entire Zelda franchise is overrated, really, because it really is. Like, how many people you see running around like, yeah, Zelda, and showing off their Zelda tattoos and their Zelda this and that and that. Like, you know how many things on Facebook I see, like, on a daily basis of, like, oh, Zelda fan art, Zelda tattoos, Zelda this, and, like, jokes and stuff. It somehow seems like that whole end of the world 2012 thing when everyone's like, the moon crashed Zelda, and it's like, and I'm not even going to stop there because... It's Nintendo in general. Honestly, people will get on their knees for Nintendo at this point and just be... There's people who praise Nintendo and won't admit that their marketing and their products are failing right now. And yeah, honestly, in my opinion, Nintendo should stop doing consoles and just do third-party content and do what Sega did. Because it's really, in my opinion, a good choice to stay as a business.
What did Sega do?
They stopped making consoles after the Dreamcast. They just, and then just did third-party games where they're just making the games for other consoles. And I think Nintendo should go that route because at this point, like the Wii U, come on, they're barely selling any at this point. It's sad. And just like Mario, the games are all the same, but people still buy them because of the name. All the IPs.
I thought the entire console of the Wii was overrated. I mean, because I did not buy one. I only have an Xbox 360 now. But whenever I'd be at a friend's house and they'd have they're playing like Wii tennis or whatever. I'm just like, this is just stupid. I mean, the graphics are terrible. You know, the motion controllers never work right. Yeah, I mean, that was lame.
And now with the Wii U, they're finally now doing HD. And it's like, we already had that for the past 6 years on other consoles. Like, come on, guys. Nintendo, you're focusing too much on gimmicks and that kind of stuff. And a lot of the games on the Wii was very few really good ones that were worthwhile.
Well, they cater
and there
to
was a lot of ports.
They cater to a specific market, that market being children.
The casual, yeah.
People that aren't afraid that it's going to cause their children to start committing acts of very effeminate violence.
Yeah.
There's a lot of series, though, that are overrated today, and I'm going to make people mad with this one. Mass Effect.
I like Mass Effect.
I like Mass Effect, too. Yeah, no, the first two were great. I think people really overblew the entire series beyond, like, what it really is, and that's what was the big problem with 3, is, like, they expected, like, this big, epic, super awesome, mega mind-blowing, never-before-seen ending, and they got an ending where, should I spoil it?
Like, yeah, spoil it. I
go
mean,
ahead and spoil it. I don't care.
It's been well around, discussed.
And it's been around
Shepherd,
for a while.
Yeah, where Shepard dies. Oh no. Like people are like so mad about that. And then also that, oh, my choices and stuff. They didn't have that big of influence and that kind of stuff. But the thing is, they did have a big influence when you were playing through the other games up until that point. And honestly, it changed how you played the game previous to the ending. So you're still getting a variety of gameplay. And just like, yeah, it was rushed out and everything by EA, but like people overblew that game so much, and that's why that whole thing happened. And honestly, BioWare shouldn't have like been like, oh, we're sorry, we messed up and everything and that kind of stuff. And it's, yeah.
Well,
it's...
I'm probably gonna have more to say about underrated games, because it's no secret that I don't play a whole lot of video games, and I don't know why. I don't know. It's just difficult to keep up with for me. But I think Oddworld was vastly underrated.
Oh yes, yeah. All the Oddworld games, definitely, for sure. I love those games. Those are great games, and they're and a lot of games that I mention on Review Drone and that kind of stuff. And like, there's people who know these games and like love these games. Like the people who know these games often like love them and like think they're the greatest games ever, yet so many people on like the mainstream gamer audience don't know even the slightest bit about these games, and it's sad. Like, how many people can you go up to and say, remember Oddworld? And
you'll just get a whole lot of blank stares. Like, whenever anyone's talking about video games just in a general kind of discussion, that's always like my go-to, because that's my favorite game that I've ever played. Nobody really knows what it is, and I've been trying to figure out why that might be. And I have not reached a satisfactory answer. I have no idea, because there's nothing. I mean, it's just awesome. It's a perfect story. It's really like, it's gameplay that really sucks you in. It was the first game I ever played, maybe apart from Flashback on the Genesis, where you have infinite lives, but it's not like a cure-all salve.
Flashback is awesome.
I remember.
No, Flashback is amazing. And, oh, what's that? It's by the same company, and it's like the same style. It's like...
Out of This World?
Yes, Out of This World is amazing. Oh my god. They have that on GOG. I've been wanting to pick that up so badly. I love that game. I'm definitely going to do a review of that for sure. But yeah, Charlie, I know what you're talking about, where you... Because this is a common thing with me all the time, because I know all these games, and I love them to death, and they're like my favorite games of all time.
Maybe it wasn't like a really marketable character. Maybe that was it.
No, I think that also, like the concept and the art style and everything, it's very weird and odd.
Well, I remember playing Oddworld, but Out of This World and Flashback on the Super Nintendo. Being too young for it, I was like, this isn't what I thought it would be.
The story's really great in those.
Until later on when I was an adult and played it, I'm like, this game's actually pretty good.
Yeah. But
like Flashback was one of those games that you like, because I played it when I was a kid. Like, I would play it in the morning, then go to school. But while I was at school, I was thinking of different things to try. You know, you run home and you try it, and it actually works the way you think it's going to work.
Yeah, and it was really like, cool. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff, because me being a big fan of like adventure games and that kind of stuff, like when you step away from it, you really have time to think about stuff and like, huh, okay, so I have this, and this. And then you really have to get in that mindset, and that really draws you in. And there's so many games like that that people don't know of, like Maniac Mansion, Day of the Tentacle, a whole bunch of the Tim Schafer games like Monkey Island, all those kinds of stuff. Those are great games. And how many people today have even heard of them or played them?
I know Kevin and I were talking today about one game that's become overrated is GoldenEye.
It has, honestly, and you play it today, it doesn't hold up unless you're playing GoldenEye Source.
Kevin, I think GoldenEye has been a bone of contention with you ever since I met you.
Well, it's weird about GoldenEye is I liked it when it came out, and this is where, I don't know, where maybe we should define better what overrated is. Mm-hmm. Was it overrated when it came out? No, it was excellent when it came out, and it was revolutionary. It was the first console shooter that actually, you know, worked. Sorry, Turok sucked. I don't care what anybody says. Turok blew.
I like Turok. I'll argue that, but...
Now, GoldenEye kind of dated in its mechanics and its its look. Obviously, its
control.
Look. I mean, almost none of the N64 games have aged that well visually, but that's not necessarily that big of a deal. Even, like, going back, even, like, playing it, though, when it was out, and that was, like, a main thing, there were flaws to that game. Mm-hmm. The clobs suck. You might as well have, like, seriously, someone's running at me with dual clobs and pulling out my hand and karate chopping them to death. That's how weak the clob was. And proximity mines were annoying as hell. My brother would just put them everywhere on, like, stacks or something, you know, in the library level, and you would go nowhere. You would spawn and die.
Yeah.
So there were some flaws in the game, and obviously you could turn off some of those weapons, like, and to make the game. And Perfect Dark was worse because everyone would just grab the far sight, and everyone would just stand around until someone saw somebody glowing, and then shot them, and then that person would just go back to try to find another far sight. So you had to turn that weapon off.
I think a lot of these classic games that are so overrated, and you'll see them everywhere. Like, you go on these so-called gaming sites that do nothing but talk about the same 20 game series over and over again. And a big thing is nostalgia or just mainstream exposure. Like, you look at Final Fantasy VII, it's like everyone knows Cloud. Everyone knows Tifa. Like, how many people really know about, like, Six or any of the other great ones?
I think that might be part of the reason why I don't play a whole lot of video games now is because, I mean, at a certain point, video games just, they stopped being fun and started trying, like, too hard to be cool. It's, I mean, you can say the same thing about...
contest.
Yeah, exactly. And I just kind of tuned out. Like, I think all, like, Call of Duty games are overrated, all Halo games are overrated.
Except for the first one. The first one is way underrated.
The Call of Duty?
Yeah, first Call of Duty.
The thing is, when it came out, everybody thought it was overrated.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, because
too many World War II shooters. Now we're begging for more World War II shooters because we're sick of seeing Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah,
but no, the first one, it was good, and it gave a really good World War II shooter. From the second one on, it went downhill because the second one, a big problem was they started putting where you would just take cover and heal. And that pissed off a lot of fans. And then, like, just as they went along, it got worse and worse and worse. And then you get Call of Duty 4 and on, where people are just focusing on the multiplayer, and they just half-ass the main campaign. And then you get these people who, from personal experience, the same people who called me names, picked on me, called me stupid, a nerd, a loser for liking video games and that kind of stuff, and liking computer games and everything, called me like a child for that kind of stuff and everything. The same people now playing video games and thinking they're so big and just awesome and cool because they can no-scope 360 on COD Black Ops 2 in multiplayer with one shot, and it's like...
Yeah, I hear you. I could say the same thing about comic books, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, same. It's ridiculous. These people who are like that, and the sad part is they're what the market is seeing now, is all these people who weren't gaming 7 to 10 more years ago, and like, they're taking up the market, and they're seeing these people they'll just eat up all this like Call of Duty stuff and all this like just this these games that are so simple and just like they could just pick up and play and it just like it makes them feel empowered because it's so easy and they can get a headshot and stuff and it's like I think the
violence feeds into it a bit.
Well, yeah, that
not
also.
Not that video
yeah.
games are too violent. I'm not going to say, no, bad violent video games. It's just that, yes, we are a violent culture. And
yeah. Well, it's just they have violence that you don't have to understand a screenplay in order to appreciate.
Yeah.
And the game is so broken and simplistic that little kids are playing it. I've seen it be played. I've played it online, actually. There's, like, little kids in there, like, 10-year-olds and stuff playing it, and they're, like, getting
from Germany,
from all over the world, and they're getting like top rankings and that kind of stuff. And I'm sorry, but like, okay, first, why is your kid playing that game? Second, it shouldn't be on that level where I can get if a kid plays it and they're that good by skills, but with how many there are and just like these people, they pick up like any of these other games that require like some sort of thought and strategic kind of skill and video game knowledge and mechanics and that kind of stuff. And you see them play it and it's just like they fall flat on their ass because they can't keep up with it and they don't understand.
Right.
They don't have.
Well, I'll say that there is nothing creepier just in general than a little kid with a German accent. And when you're playing an online game, like an Xbox Live or something, and you hear him say, oh, I've killed you now, mm-hmm. That's just awful. I think Xbox Live in itself, like, is not a particular game, but I think that's a little bit overrated. I mean, being able to play video games with someone that you cannot see and socialize with and hang out with is completely mm-hmm. missing the point. I mean, it's a game. Because when I was younger, video games were like a very social thing. Like, you'd get together with your friends, stay up all night, and play Tekken or something like that. See, that's a good time. But sitting by yourself with a headset playing with someone on the other side of the world, I mean, it's got certain novelty, I guess, you can't really ignore. But, I mean, apart from that, it's a lot of technology that doesn't have much of a point.
I like playing online. I like playing online with people and, like, my friends and that kind of stuff. And, like, with you guys online and stuff. I miss LAN parties.
Oh, right. I know what you mean.
I really miss LAN parties. Like, honestly, taking your computer over to a friend's house, hooking up the network, playing some Quake or some Unreal tournament, like, that was so much fun. That was so great. And I miss that. But now every game is just like, just connect online. Nobody wants to leave the house or anything. It's just,
It's lacking humanity.
I do, yeah, and no, I don't. Don't miss LAN parties because LAN parties were fun until you're getting fucking tired and then it's like sleep time and no one wants to sleep and you gotta find someplace uncomfortable to sleep and it's just like I miss some of it and there's a lot of it I don't.
No, I'll agree with that. Yeah, it can get tiring just like sitting there and just playing the same game rounds and rounds and rounds. But no, just that interaction and just like being in the same room and just being like, oh, you got me. Oh, dang.
And I
like,
guess it could be something of a relief to only have to deal with your own flatulence.
Unwashed nerds, not much fun.
It's just like having those people there and then like, say, being like, hey, let's take a break, let's go grab a pizza or something, or let's eat, and or like, you know, let's sit around for a bit and just all hang out and everything.
But yeah, it was a social thing. It was more like a game. Yeah. And now,
no, and then
I think
going
people
back
take
even,
it much too seriously now.
Going back even farther, what me and my friends would always just do is, like, we'd play hockey on the weekends, we'd get up like 7 in the morning, play hockey, and then that would go for an hour, and then afterwards, go rent a video game, and then go to each other's house, play the game, stay the night, and wake up the next day, play some more, and then, yeah. And that's how weekends were spent. You would rent a game, rent it for the weekend, go to a friend's house, and yeah, you don't get that anymore because now it's all like digital download or it's like single player. You know how many games I have that like don't support two-person gaming on the same screen? It's like, it sucks.
It is. I mean, that's one reason why I think Super Mario Kart is a vastly underrated game. I mean, a lot of people just dismissed it because it wasn't like a regular racing game. Like, there was no...
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't as goal-oriented as, like, a serious racing game or anything. But I thought it was way more fun than any other racing game I've ever
and
played.
It was a much more social game to sit there, mm-hmm. not online, but there with your friends playing this game.
No, and the same with the Super Smash Brothers games and stuff.
Oh, Super Smash Brothers was great.
Yeah. No, honestly, the hours I spent as a kid, me and my friends just playing those different matches and trying to unlock the levels and the characters and stuff, it was great.
And Super Smash Brothers had the added bonus of I get a cheap little thrill out of that. It's like when I was a kid and I watched the Laugh Olympics. Like, you know how you just get, like, a cool feeling if you see Scooby-Doo and Huckleberry Hound next to each other?
Yeah. Smash Bros. I know what you mean. Like,
had that same kind of vibe. Like, seeing Kirby and Link
fighting each other.
I know. It was cool.
Those games would have to get back on topic. Those games are kind of overrated. But they're fun. They're fun. They're not as good as everyone makes them out to be. They're fun. They're good.
No, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned this on a couple episodes of the show, but one of the few video games that I have is Brutal Legend.
Yes. Oh, they actually just released that on Steam for PC, like how many years later? But yeah, no, that was a great game. The only downfall was the real-time strategy parts. But again, it was really, really fun, and the soundtrack was great.
Yeah, the soundtrack was awesome. I think a lot of people dismissed it, like it didn't get the shot that it deserved, because when it comes to somebody like Jack Black, you've got people that really like him and people that really freaking hate him, and there's no middle ground. Like, it could have had a bigger audience if they would have had someone else as a character. Like, not like I wish they do, because I think Jack Black was brilliant in that game.
And
I think he's the perfect dude to voice that character. But I think that's why it didn't really get much of a shot.
Well, also, and I mentioned him before, Tim Schafer. That was under Tim Schafer's company, Double Fine. I can't really think of any game of his that they're all really underrated, but really, really great games. Like Jousky, I was telling you about Psychonauts.
Yeah, you did send that to me the other day.
I'm going to do a review drawing on that. That's my next episode. I'll have that up soon. Honestly, I love Castlevania 64. I don't care what anyone says. I love that game.
Hey, somebody else who likes Castlevania 64.
Thank you. The atmosphere is great. I find it... that game scared the crap out of me when I was younger.
It's ass-kickingly abusively hard, but...
But, like, seriously, a lot of the levels, I had to find ways to cheat the game to get further in it and stuff, and it's like... Oh, man. But it is so much fun, and I love the music, the atmosphere, the story. I like the story, actually.
Yeah, the story is interesting, and it's got the two characters that have different story arcs that are kind of... It's fun. I like them.
When you get to that mansion level, like, right near the beginning, and then it has the that labyrinth hedge maze with, like, the Frankenstein with the chainsaw arm, that was amazing. Oh, my God. That scared me as a kid so much.
I mostly remember trying to jump from, like, spinning blade to spinning blade. Part of the game that was, but I remember dying a lot on that.
Was that when you had to carry the nitro and stuff? I think, maybe.
I remember the nitro part, too. That was also difficult. Let's see if I
but
can
yeah, honestly, I played that game for hours just trying to get through it. And yeah, it's hard, but it's a Castlevania game. Castlevania games are hard. You gotta remember that.
Oh, they are. Abusively so.
So
what is the deal with, like, with Simon Belmont's character? Like, what is his backstory? I've always wondered this.
He's just a descendant of vampire hunters.
Ah.
It runs in his family line, so.
Okay, and is there a psychological reason behind his use of a whip?
I can't remember. There probably is. There probably, like, is some sort of backstory, or there's got to be a better backstory than my excuse of... it's part of a bloodline thing.
Jowski and I were talking earlier about overhated as a...
Overhated. And a big thing with overhated comes from internet.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like
Castlevania 64, and that's what made me think of that. I think that game is overhated.
And I'm going to point fingers here. And a big person to blame, even though I like him and I like his content, I'm a fan... Angry video game nerd, James Rolfe. A lot of the times you'll watch the reviews and that kind of stuff, and he won't even like say the game's bad, but just the fact that it was on an episode of Angry Video Game Nerd, people will jump to the conclusion and be like, oh, it's a bad game. Because I remember that happened with Zelda 2, Link's Awakening. It's an amazing game. It's a good game. People would always just like overblow his reviews and not take time to actually listen to what he's saying and just jump to the conclusion that, oh, it's a bad game because it was on Angry Video Game Nerd. And they don't realize that Angry Video Game Nerd is a character.
And he'll overstate the game for comedic effect. A lot of people don't realize
that's the
that.
Character, though. That's the character.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, hey, he's just being funny. They think, yeah. Oh, this game legitimately sucks. And I was saying the same thing about Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, no, I love that game. And Spoonie actually came out in his Final Fantasy 13 review right at the beginning. He's like, I take it back. I take back everything I said about 8. It wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as the later series. In my personal opinion, and I'm going to get hate for this, and you can send that hate to reviewdrone@geekjuicemedia.com, 8's better than 7. I like 8 better than 7.
Yeah, 8 does have its flaws, and Spoonie does.
It has its flaws, but
Spoonie
like
does address those flaws quite well. But a lot of people jump to the conclusion, "Well, Spoonie said it sucks, so it must be the worst game ever." It's not a perfect game, to be sure, but it's not the worst game ever.
And a lot of people don't get a game can be mediocre to bad, but still be fun.
Yeah,
and a lot of people don't get that and stuff. And that's the thing a lot of the time, like, with online reviewers and that kind of stuff. They'll say, like, oh, it's bad, but it's fun. And people will just say, it's bad, but then never pick it up or try it and realize it's fun. And that's sort of with Castlevania 64, I believe. That's a fun game. It's really fun for me, at least. Well, and it's really interesting, and I like the atmosphere and stuff. But
Castlevania 64 has the same issue a lot of games I like have, is that they are deeply flawed.
Mm-hmm.
But also have a lot going for them in other ways. Interesting story, characters. It's really trying to do something different. Yeah, maybe it misses on some points. I actually thought the first Assassin's Creed falls into this.
Yes.
It reaches so high, and it doesn't quite hit all of its notes, but it has so much potential that they then later reach in Assassin's Creed 2 and its spinoffs.
I remember when the first one came out, everyone was going crazy for Assassin's Creed and everything. And then the second one came out, and everyone's like, yeah, Assassin's Creed was meh. It was meh.
Well, it's retrospect.
Yeah. But, like, these people who were just praising it and stuff, and it's just like,
I loved the first
holding one. It on a pedestal and stuff, are now just being like, yeah, there's so much wrong with that game, and I don't like it and stuff. It's like, well, was it fun? Yeah, but, you know, it's got this problems and this and this and this.
And it's problems that you didn't notice until they fixed it in 2.
Yeah.
Another game, Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth is...
I love that game.
Is also flawed, though. Has its deep flaws, but
sure.
Also reaches very far and tries to do some very interesting things, and it's one of my favorite games because of it.
Yeah,
I don't need a perfect game. I need a game that tries.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of games that I like that. Okay.
Arcanum is a perfect example of this, too.
Cracked
combat system, but interesting world, characters, story, leveling system. Everything else about it is just about perfect. But the combat, which is there's a lot of it, is crap.
Is Postal 2. That game is so much fun. Yeah, it's offensive and controversial and that kind of stuff, but get over yourself.
That's what the fun comes from, though.
Yeah, that's okay. What the fun, because it can poke fun, and, like, if you get offended, that's your fault. That's your problem for not, like, getting the joke. Hell, the company makes fun of themselves in the game.
Okay, what is that about?
Postal 2?
Yeah.
The inspiration from the series came from the postal shootings and, like, just people losing it and going on shooting rampages. You play as the postal dude, which in the first one, as you can guess, you just go on a rampage and cops and people just are attacking you and going crazy. Second one, it became a first person open world, a sense of humor that was very offensive and controversial. You know, all like the stereotypes and everything. All Muslims are terrorists in that, and they want to bomb and hate the U.S. But then, like, what's some other stereotypes in there? Like, gays are all like, man, like...
Oh, the effeminate gays.
Yeah, like...
Okay, so what does all that have to do with postal workers?
Well, it was the game was sort of inspired by that because the okay. postal dude, his old job was as a postal worker, but in the second one, it has a sense of humor that a lot of people are offended by because it's violent and it pokes fun at a lot of like stereotypes and ethnicities and that kind of stuff. And you get in a gunfight with Gary Coleman. Like, come on. if that's not fun enough.
Like the ghost of Gary Coleman, or was this before?
This is way before. This is like way back. This is an older game. But yeah, it's a fun game. And it has, in my opinion, a good sense of humor that if you're offended by, I believe that's your fault by not getting the joke and being too overly sensitive. And it's not a game that takes itself seriously and isn't trying to be serious. The character you play, he's in no way supposed to be a hero or a good guy and that kind of stuff. Like, he's a homeless white trash kind of, he lives in like a trailer and he's a crackhead and that kind of stuff. And yeah,
the character.
Yeah,
honestly,
you can go around and pee on stuff. One of your weapons is you're able to pee on stuff.
Terrific.
And you can use cats as silencers on your guns.
Oh.
Yes.
Make a louder noise though.
Actually, no. Apparently, it silenced the bullets, but they meow. So I guess that kind of makes it louder. But I don't know. Yeah. Actually, they showed that in the Postal movie, and I think that movie's underrated. Like,
oh, anything of Uwe Boll's is, actually.
Yeah, really. That's one of his good movies that I love. I love that movie. I think it's hilarious, and he hit the nail on the head with that one, because that was funny. But my favorite game of all time, Deus Ex, I think is very, very underrated. And yeah, it's flawed in its graphics. How many people have played the original Deus Ex as the thing? And how many people have even heard of it?
Kevin?
Like before the new one.
Kevin?
Jazz and I were discussing this earlier. I was trying to decide if I was going to troll you or not by saying it was overrated, but I'm not going to say
it's not. No, like in the gaming and computer community and that kind of stuff, a lot of people could see it as overrated because a lot of people, like myself, consider it the greatest game of all time because it was just so innovative for its time and everything. But to a mainstream audience and that kind of stuff, like, people are really missing out on this amazing game that innovated and did so much for its time, and it still holds up today. Like, maybe not the graphics, but the gameplay and the story. The story is great. There's so many choices and alternate ways you can approach the game and stuff. And I really recommend it, of course. And then also the Thief series.
I was just going to bring up Thief. What about Thief?
Yeah.
Since Thief 4 just got announced.
Yeah. Which finally, well, actually that game was like way back when, but they finally were like, yeah, we're going to start marketing it now. We're actually going to like start handing out stuff and like showing you stuff that we've been working on. Cause that game started, before Deus Ex Human Revolution went into, or got into production. That's been like 5 years now, I think, they've been working on the new Thief. And they've just now, like, brought it to the public eye.
I think Human Revolution's success helped get it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, Eidos Montreal, they did an amazing job with that game. And really, after that game, I completely trust them with Thief. I think, though, they should change the title so it's not the same title as the first game. Well, actually, no. The first one was Thief: The Dark Project, but still, they should go something else other than Thief.
I think that might be too much to ask for in this day and age, man. You got to think about it. There's a movie called The Fast and the Furious, and then there's a movie called Fast and Furious, and they're not the same movie.
And there's Too Fast, Too Furious.
By the way, I think every movie sequel should be required to be named that way, like Two Aliens. Or, I think every
more
sequel.
More aliens.
Yeah. More aliens. Well, honestly, every time a new Fast and Furious movie comes out, I call it the number followed by, I like six Fast, six Furious. It makes no sense, but it works.
Well, with the last one, they just went Fast Five.
Yeah, so I don't even.
Next
I don't
one, it's
I call
five,
it five
fast.
Fast. I call it Five Fast, Five Furious. That's what I call it.
Next one's just going to be Six.
I'm still waiting for a sequel to The Happening called It's Happening Again.
I am very happy they're not making a sequel to The Happening, so there's that.
And then a prequel, prequel called What's Happening.
And then they could do a sequel to the prequel called What's Happening Now.
And then a prequel to that even called What's Gonna Happen.
Hollywood, then, you should hire us.
The last one's going to be, remember that one time that one thing happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
What happened?
I think all of us are willing to sell out and pitch our ideas to anybody who's willing to listen about these movies.
The Thief series is my second favorite series next to Deus Ex. Like, my favorite game is Deus Ex. Second favorite, I can safely say, is Thief. I'd have to go with Syndicate. And then after that, it's just like, you can't get any more out of me, because I'll be like throwing together like, oh, I like this one, but this one's really good. And but this one, a lot of, and Kevin, bringing up one of your favorite games, Planescape Torment, that's a really underrated game in mainstream gaming.
It's interesting, yeah, in mainstream, but like, judging by the vast success, the new Torment Spiritual Sister, their Kickstarter, is so successful. Obviously, not underrated in the act, like in the market it's targeting.
Well, that's the thing.
I already backed it.
Yeah, that's the thing with a lot of these games. Like, look at the new Leisure Suit Larry game, or the new Wasteland game, or any of these ones.
It's doing Torment, by the way. Wasteland 2 is the same company.
And then also like the Shadowrun game and stuff. The thing is,
that looks beautiful.
It does. I can't wait to play that. And the new Rise of the Triad game, or no, I think that one was independently. That one wasn't done by a Kickstarter, but it was independently funded, I'm pretty sure. Or yeah, no, it was. But all these games are happening because there's a fan base out there that has now peeked its head out and said, "Hey, we're here. We exist."
Crowdsourcing Kickstarter, the most beautiful thing I've seen in years, because now for those of us who like a more niche game,
mm-hmm.
we can finally, you know, they can finally sell games to us.
And we're getting like adventure games again. And it's like, finally, some of the greatest games of all time. And we're seeing adventure indie games and that kind of stuff. These games that tell a greater story than the stuff you'll see on the shelf at Walmart or Best Buy.
Yes.
I mean, it's a beautiful,
and they're
beautiful
cheaper.
Thing. Like, I love
a lot of
it.
These. Yeah. A lot of these games, like, you're going to get them for $20. You go to Walmart and that kind of stuff. They're selling these games for like 60, 70 bucks. And that's like within like the first couple months of it being out. Ridiculous.
Not that I hate every big budget title that comes out, but
no, I agree. I'm currently playing, I picked up Far Cry 3. I'm playing that one. I just finished playing Max Payne 3, which was amazing. And honestly, anyone out there looking for a great game with great story, play that series. Play Max Payne 1 to 3, and you won't be disappointed. Like, some of the best storytelling I've seen in video games, especially the third one, because it's so cinematic. It's like watching a movie. And then playing a movie. But yeah, no, the first two games are also great. I wouldn't say the third one's the best. I'd say first one's the best, then third, then second. But again, they're all amazing games.
By the time this airs, Bioshock Infinite will be out, and I'll be playing that.
Ooh, yeah. The first Bioshock was amazing. That's a great game. Its spiritual successor... Bioshock was the spiritual successor to System Shock. System Shock 2. Overrated, but underrated in that way of the people who know it, love it. The people who don't know it, really don't know it. It's not really out there to the mainstream. That's what happened when, like, Bioshock came out. Like, people were, like, talking, like, oh, man, Bioshock, it's so awesome. And I'm, like, playing it. I'm, like, this is System Shock. This is System Shock 2. I've played
this. What I
liked
best about Bioshock, and I haven't played System Shock 2, but what I liked best about Bioshock was its interesting world and its sort of, like, critique of Ayn Rand's philosophies.
Yeah, no, I thought I did like that, and I liked the world and everything. It's the same story, but different setting, and it's done really well. It stands on its own as a game and stuff, like the whole art style and the gameplay and everything.
With the Art Deco and the, yeah, very, very cool looking game. And that intro, when you go down to Rapture, when you go down to Rapture for the first time, one of the coolest moments in gaming history.
It is. And
I think that that one's underrated. I think Bioshock's underrated. Yeah, the first one. No one really talks about it anymore. But it's a really good game. It was really innovative for its time. You didn't see a game like that for a long time that was just kind of that style and gameplay and that kind of stuff. And I really liked it. It was really enjoyable, and just the concept of like this underwater city, you wouldn't see that in any other game done in that way. And that's the big thing with the market and everything. It's just all these big developers like EA and stuff that put out these same games over and over and over again, like clones of war shooters and that kind of stuff, and like racing games and this and that. And
right, you don't see attempts at new property that often. That's what one of the things I liked about Assassin's Creed when it came out is it was something new. Now there's been whatever, six games, and it's kind of
gotten stale on its own.
Became very successful. It was one of those attempts that actually worked. What was that game they showed at the PlayStation 4? It was an Ubisoft game that I thought looked like a very modern.
Watch Dogs. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
It has some of that Assassin's Creed feel to it. Almost like it could take place in the same world.
Yeah.
But it does so many cool things with what you can do. Like,
and that's why it really took the show at E3 last year, because it was just like, okay, yeah, we've seen these games, we've seen all these games and everything. Like, then you watch it and you're like, oh my god, it looked amazing and innovative and just like stuff we haven't seen much before. And that's why it really took the show at E3 last year. Because it just got there's always like, you know, there's Halo 4 and Call of Duty this and like war shooter fighter this and that and everything, and the market's getting bland and boring. Like, look at the PlayStation 4 thing that they had recently, like the that meeting that they had, the live.
Yeah, did you see anything other than Watch Dogs that looked that great in that?
No, I know. It was just like,
I watched the whole thing.
I watched a majority of it, and it's like, we're bringing Drive Club, which looks like Gran Turismo.
The graphics are nice, whatever.
But like, yeah, it's like, whatever. And then like, another Killzone. Yeah. What was the other one that I can't even remember a bunch of the games.
They had one when they were like playing drums and stuff. I don't remember what the hell that was about. That looked weird. I think it was the guys that did Little Big Planet or something bizarre.
But like,
something with drums, apparently.
Diablo 3 to PlayStation.
Yeah, because everyone loved Diablo 3 so much when it came out for PC.
Yeah.
No, wait, they didn't, because it was always online, and that ruined the gameplay. Yeah.
And Jowski, you're playing the new SimCity right now.
I am.
Speaking of always online.
And yeah. I don't mind it's always online thing. I really do enjoy the new SimCity.
I'm sure it's a great game and I'd enjoy it. Just like the problems that they do have there and like that they've had and everything. It's such a turnoff and everything. Like, the biggest reason why people were complaining was day one, they got their game, they couldn't play it.
Yeah,
that's a major, especially when you promise that stuff's not going to happen. One of the head producers of that game was like, yeah, we've been watching Blizzard and what happened with Diablo 3, and we're avoiding that completely. We're making sure that's not going to happen. What happened day one? The exact same thing.
It happens.
Why could they not play?
Yeah, because it's online only, but the servers weren't even working.
Ah.
You have to connect to servers in order to play it, and the servers wouldn't load, and like they were crashing when they did, and there was, they got to realize you can't do that stuff. You have to make sure it works, or you're gonna make people mad, and people are gonna find it hard to trust you with that kind of stuff. When you, even if you say like, oh, we fixed it this time, it's like, yeah, you said you were it was going to be fixed before. And then also there's been a lot of problems with like the customer service with EA and like people trying to get like the game fixed or like get reimbursed or something, or even it's well, EA's customer service in general is just awful. Just Google it and you'll find out what I mean. Like right. There's screen caps of just god awful, terrible customer service there. I would love that game, and all the reviews I've been seeing are like saying it's a great fun game when you can play it.
I've had no problem with it though, because they did fix it.
They did fix a bunch of stuff, but really with everything that's happened, it's kind of too little too late for a lot of people. Like, yeah, I'm probably going to pick it up at some point and everything, and they should really... The thing with this, like, down the line, it's going to be hard to play it because they're going to shut down the servers, and then what?
Oh, I imagine they have a solution for that. At least I hope they do.
They should have just stuck with not keep it servers, just have your own city and that, or given you that option. Because it's a turnoff for me to buy that game. Like, it's just like... It's a warning sign, just like keeping me away from that game. Cause like, if I have this game on my computer or on my shelf and I'm not able to play it in like 5-6 years, what good is it to me?
Yeah.
It's just sitting on my shelf or file in an account on Origin, which Origin is god awful.
A lot of people have been saying that. I've had no problem with it, but then again, I'm not as dedicated a gamer as the rest of the world.
It tries to be Steam, but it utterly fails. Because EA's very... They're kind of like the fascists of the gaming industry. And yeah, they seem very forceful and just down your throat about like what they do and how it's done and stuff, and they don't take people's advice and they don't learn lessons from the past and everything. They just think, yeah, we'll do it our way and everything will work fine. They don't understand where a lot of these Kickstarter games are understanding, because they're giving what the people want, because the people are handing over their money in order to get what they want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really going to take over. It already is. Look at all the indie games hitting the market and that kind of stuff. A lot of these indie games are very underrated, but very, very fun. All these big companies and publishers, they don't get it. They really, really don't get it. A good example of companies not getting what the fans want is the 2012 Syndicate game, which... I did not ask for my tactical real-time strategy shooter to be turned into a first-person shooter with a Skrillex soundtrack. Yes, he did do the soundtrack for that game with lots of lens flares and bloom effect and terrible. Just
well, we know how you feel about Skrillex.
No, I know. Everyone knows how I feel, and I think we all feel that way about him deep down, like just like completely 180 a series and expect fans to be like, "All right, yeah, sure." It's like, "No. You're giving me the game that you ruined it." And I really think 2K dodged a bullet there when they did the same thing with XCOM back in 2010, doing that like set in the 50s FPS with like aliens and alien monster cubes and black goo and stuff. And yeah, if you're following Spoony, you know about like the whole betrayal thing that happened. I agree. It was disappointing seeing that. It was hurtful seeing that, thinking that they would even call that XCOM. But then 2K was like, oh, fans aren't liking this. And then they made a XCOM game that was very true to the series and updated the series. And it's a great game. It's an amazing game and fans are happy. Yeah, it's a bit broken at times, but that's a simple patch fix that they should have already put out. But they'll get on it, hopefully. I could go on for hours with this stuff.
Clearly.
I bet you could.
I still have 389 games to go through that I have to talk about. I'm going through my entire Steam and GOG games, though.
What we didn't tell you at the beginning of the episode was that this is part one of 325.
Apparently. Yes.
Please join us for the next 6 years as we discuss this every week.
Yes, I will be back in 2019. Enjoy yourselves. No, but thank you for listening, everybody.
The shows from now on are just going to be me talking into a microphone, just me talking and like no one replying, but it seems like I'm talking to someone. Like someone's there is just like, yeah, this game is so great and everything. You know, have you played it? You haven't. Listen. This game is like amazing. Just that's going to be me for the next like couple years on this show is just me like that.
And sir, that's going to be you for the rest of the night. Like after we stop this recording, you're just going to keep going.
Oh yeah, so no.
Next week, tune in to Dustin Kid Radio.
Yes, come back for episode 2.
Radio.
But thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the projection booth with Mike White coming up next, and come back and listen to us next time.
Next time, we are talking about realism in comics.
Ah, there we go.
Oh, I want to be a part of that, but I don't think I can. Wait, I might be able to. Yeah, I should be able to.
So in preparation for next week's episode, get out there and fight some crime, and we'll compare notes next week.
Hell yeah. All right.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Cosmic control tape is in my grasp. This band will play everything I want perfectly the first time through. And you know, while I was sitting on the toilet last night, I thought up this little ditty, and I thought you guys might like to play it for me. But anyways,